I'm here now. I'm all yours. A little later than advertised.
Yeah, it's super, super later than everything. Yes, like, all right.
Sahaho, with the assistance of McLeanex, which was here long before I was.
Nice.
I'm just drippy. It's not sick, I'm just drippy. I'll be fine. I am Ross. Joining me, of course, is my co-host, Ian. And together, despite the fact that I am very late and I am dripping fluids from my nose, but at least I'm not the Speaker of the House of Commons, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. How have you missed out on that? I see your confused face. Have you missed out on that entirely? The Speaker of the House of Commons is in trouble.
Okay, go on.
He's gone and done a thing.
Okay. Maybe I should look that up afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. We'll leave it at that. You can look that up a little bit later. But slowly making our way through the 50-some beers in the old beer cupboard right there, we have decided to get into some brown ales, mostly because anytime that there are options for brown ales, we pretty much say, yas, please. Mm-hmm. And there are three in your beer cupboard and four brown ales in my beer cupboard because one of yours exploded, but I am enthused about the fact that it exploded, but you drank it and you enjoyed it.
It was, yeah, I'm not supposed to say anything. Yeah, whatever. It was
the
delicious.
Sneak preview.
Yeah, it was really fab. And it was an Appus Brewings one, wasn't it? So I need to sort of, I was down there as well only a week or two ago with my daughters. And it didn't occur to me, or maybe I should have picked up another one, but hey, it gives me an excuse to go for another drive down there, which is...
It's true. We drove past just on this past weekend, but we were coming back and it was kind of late. It was like, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and not that they probably would still have been open. There's another bit of shade towards eastern Nova Scotia, where our western Nova Scotia pubs all seem to still be open at 10 o'clock at night, but yeah. Didn't really want to stop the car mid. It was, you know, 2 hours into the voyage. Oh, we did eventually stop the car for a Tim Hortons, but regardless. Mm. Regardless. So we chose of the two, or of the four, two of them, which are down towards the 5% alcohol by volume, as opposed to the other two were upwards closer to 6. And I was mentioning that I think a brown ale. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm spoiled by the big brown ale from Roofhound, but I think a brown ale is oftentimes more alcohol-y percentage-y.
Maybe in Canada, that's not my experience across the pond. Brown ales would... So, hey, listen, all the beers are stronger in Canada than they are in the UK, but brown ales were typically sort of 4-4.5% in the UK for a brown ale.
Okay, then it's just my imagination and my assumptions, and I am... Wrong. I'm happily wrong. However, Lazy Bear...
You're right.
Yeah. But Lazy Bear Brewing, this is the 5.0%. It is in Smith's Cove, where we talked about the Annapolis Brewing. But while we were down there, Brittany and I and Kelsey actually went for a drive down towards Annapolis Brewing Company. And I said, I wonder if there's any other breweries this side of, you know, between here and Yarmouth. And there is one. There is Lazy Bear Brewing, and they're right there in Smith's Cove. They're just like a hop, skip, and a jump from Annapolis Brewing. And if you see the picture behind me, it is a very, very small, small-scale establishment. And that's not to say that their cans are all in the 355, because I think they have some taller cans. But the best part, I got the nice, delightful gloss. And their Honey Brown, which... On the website, they only have one Honey Brown, and it's called the Brown Bar Honey Brown, but it says it's a 5.5%, so I'm not sure that this is the correct one, because the can doesn't say Brown Bar, so they might have had a different brown ale.
Brown ale.
So, what it says on the site is, because there's nothing written on the can, it is a very unassuming silvery can with the lovely picture of the bear pushing the small barrel, and no other writing other than a couple of ingredients, return for refund, and the address of Smith's Cove. But on the site, a malt-forward brown ale gently hopped with floral Santium hops and local honey. Look for delicate aromatics from the honey and hops while enjoying the malty background. We add the honey during high Krausen to maintain the delicate honey aromatics. Is that like high tea, but in Germany? Would you stay for High Krausen?
I'm glad you said the bear with a small barrel, because I didn't see that was a barrel. I just thought it was like pushing a ball along. That's a barrel, isn't it? I mean, like, well, he was going to do some Russian thing and start walking on the ball.
I mean, it also looks like a giant chocolate chip cookie, but I think the circle on the barrel, it's a top down view. The circle would be the cork stuffed at the top, would it not?
I'm going to put my glasses on. Maybe I'll be able to see it better. Oh, it's a mile now.
That's obviously a barrel now.
The keg. Absolutely. There you go. Good. Amazing what glasses can do for people that can't see very well.
I have opened and smelled it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did.
Seeing as you made a German kind of voice thing, I think that's what that was, I'm going to use my German glass. Yeah. I haven't had this out for a wee while. The men in Lederhosen at the table.
I'm kind of excited that I get to have thematic glasses for both of these. I've got the Lazy Bear pint glass, and then I've got my Truro Brewing special weirdo, not quite a pint glass. But I get to get quite a lot of head in this one, because it's the full 20-ounce pint glass, but it's only a 355-milliliter can.
It smells... It doesn't smell of honey.
Doesn't really. The can... the color. Ooh, but there's a...
That's a bit chocolatey. Quite
roasty. It does a little. There's a sweetness. Yeah. That smells really good. It's translucent. It's clearer than I would think for a brown ale. It's closer to an amber, I would think.
Mine's no color yet. It's just all.
But now, here's the other bit: is that these two are both called honey browns. The queen bee from Spindrift, or now Burnside, it was always the honey brown because it was the queen bee. A honey just synonym. I mean, I have been places and I have had a brown ale, but it seems like, I don't know if it's the extra popular or it just automatically becomes a honey brown ale.
No, it's not. Not all brown ales are immediately honey brown ales. I'm not buying that.
So is this just one of those things where it just seems the popular thing to do is to have a honey brown right now in the Nova Scotia beer market industry.
So it's now another bandwagon jumping exercise. If someone introduced it and all of a sudden all the others said, oh, they've got honey brown, then we ought to do the same. Needn't necessarily be a great deal. When I crack this, I was just saying there, I'm not getting a great deal of honey. In fact, Ross, I'm not smelling honey. Am I supposed to be?
I don't think it said look for delicate aromatics from the honey and hops while enjoying the malty background.
Delicate? Okay, malt. I'm getting malt.
I am too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sweetness.
I'm enjoying the smell of this. My sense of smell, I'm not so sick that I have no sense of smell whatsoever, but it's greatly reduced, and I kind of wish I had my full, what's the word? Olfactory senses about me right now.
Yeah, if you've got your cold, you're not going to be able to smell too much. But I didn't realize it was frothing as it was when I cracked the can there, and I got my nose in it, and the damn thing shot right up my nose. So I do have it now all over my hairs in my nose. You don't really want to think about that. We're both talking about the internal contents of our noses right now, which isn't very nice.
We're getting a bit there. Mine are probably more gross than your nose hairs can possibly go. So I would happily talk about your nose hairs, because that would prevent me from talking about what's in the inside of mine. The head on this is delectable. Look at that. It's got that good, like a nitrogen foam to it. The tiny bubbles, I want to say. Is tiny bubbles a thing?
I'm failing miserably. This has been in the fridge for about probably 40 minutes, mate, because maybe even longer, you know, because obviously I was expecting you to be on just a tiny bit earlier. But that's
about that. That's a cough.
No, that's not what I'm getting at. Of course, what I'm saying is the reason why I wouldn't normally put it in the fridge for as long as that. But the reason was because, of course, it was just a little bit later than I thought it was going to be. But normally when you put stuff in the fridge, it can take a lot of the old foam down, can't it? Because when you get it at room temperature, it's often a lot foamier. But this is full of foam and it's still cool. So I don't know what's going on. Yours is quite different from mine.
Maybe.
That was the sciencey bit.
I don't know. I feel like normally when we get a small can, every time there's a small can, I always definitely want more. All the small can ones are kind of, oh, here you go. And it's like, oh, but this was the good one. I wanted this in an extra big can. I don't want just 355 milliliters. Give me an additional 100. Mm-hmm. 118. Yes, I mathed that very quickly in my head. 473 down to 355. I was listening to a math thing on the radio just on my way here, and they were talking about the concept of zero, and I was actually able to follow it. They mentioned calculus terms, and I thought, I did that.
Did you just say I listened to a math thing on the way in on the radio?
It just happened to be on the radio. They were talking about a math. It was a sort of a podcasty thing. They do it. CBC Radio has all these interesting shows on in the evening, like ideas and this and that. And the ideas show tonight was all about the concept of zero and how it has affected things like, well, specifically calculus, and where zero is something that conceptually doesn't really have an example or an answer, but it's everywhere in mathematics, calculus, physics, and all over the place. But you can't sort of say that right there, that's zero. You can't do it.
Yeah. No, you can't. There's no such thing, is it? There's no such number, or you can't think of zero. You can't something do anything
like with I don't want to think about it right now. It was very curious and very interesting, but that was me getting back to how.
I've mentioned before that you're the nerdiest person I know, and you just clarified that because you were listening to a math program going on the radio. Never, no such thing as late, like after dark with O'Daria in England. Well, you're going straight for the math channel on the radio.
It was just what was on when I when I turned on the thing. I was just driving home, and it was there. I was something to listen to.
I believe you.
Well, I try to avoid everyone's high beams.
I've given this enough now. I can't wait any longer. It's not going to go down enough for me to put even a 355 can in. Tiny little can. I'm going to have to drink it.
Perhaps I got lucky because mine was angled. Cheers. Interesting. Oh. What is that?
Full of flavor.
Yes.
Really rich. Very rich. Really very malty. From the outset, it's not... Thankfully, it's... In fact, it is at the back end. Well, it's all over it, all the way through it. But if it's... did it say delicate notes of honey?
Delicate aromatics of honey and hops with a malt background.
Okay, the malt is, I'm getting that all the way through it, to be honest, right. It's not particularly hoppy, which is, thumbs up.
Very, very tail end, I get a tiny little bitter hop, but it's so well balanced, you don't care. It's nice at the tail end to sit there.
I'm getting no honey, Ross. If it's delicate, it's so delicate that it's imperceptible to my
taste. I don't think I'm getting much of a taste of honey either. If I really squint and really try very hard to think about it, I think I can imagine it somewhere up front, but I don't care.
Well, I'm going to go to a web page with Winnie the Pooh on it, and maybe just by looking at that, I might just get something sort of flutters into my head. I'm getting nothing. I'm getting no honey. It's not. There's not there. I don't know what they're talking about. There's no honey in that.
Well, maybe that's it mixing. Maybe it's the balance of everything that you don't taste or hear. This definitely tastes of honey. Maybe this is what honey brown tastes like. And to be honest, and I don't know how I can think of this, but it does remind me of the Spindrift Queen Bee. It's the only thing that this takes me back to, that rich malty flavor. It's because kind of a rich sweetness. It's not quite a caramel, but it's not quite not.
Malty can be very sweet, can't it? Malty beers can be sweet. Look up your internet kind of thing, if you wouldn't mind. Are honey browns supposed to taste then of honey? Or is it like we were kind of muting at there that maybe, or hinting at that maybe it's just a bandwagon thing and that they're not really honey-ish. They're just maybe just the color of them with just maybe a tiny little bit of sweetness through the honey, or are we supposed to be tasting it?
What kind of beer is honey brown? A sweet honey dash molasses flavor, slightly hopped. When I take another sip of this, and with the word molasses in the back of my brain, it also says potential nutty caramel.
Yes, nutty. Okay, I'm going to go with that. And then we did say there was some sweetness. And there, maybe then it's hinting at that caramel. Then honey, forget about it. I'm not getting anything. Yes, because it is sweetness and it's malty. It's, by the way, I do like it. But
I really like it. This is excellent. But the thing is, unlike where I really like the Roof Hound Big Brown, because its flavor has a personality. It's biff here. This reminds me more of Garrison's Nut Brown, which is delicious, but you can't describe it. It's just good. And the Queen Bee from Now Burnside, it was also delicious, but I wouldn't... Someone would say, oh, it was really good. Try this. What's it taste like? You'll really like it is all I can really come down to. So maybe a honey brown is just such a well-balanced, malty, rich, delicious beer with no, it's smooth on the back end. And, but it's so neutral. It's good neutral. It's not just, you know, like tap water, like the Olin Export that we had last week, where that was super neutral, but this is, it's neutral. It's flavored, but it's not zing, pow.
I think that, in my personal opinion, and if I was the general public, and if I was all of the general public, by the way, me, by myself, like the entire 8 billion people, they've shot themselves in the foot. Because even though it's really flavorsome, I find it a little sickly.
Really?
Yes, I really do. It's really quite sweet and thick and a little bit too malty, even for this these 8 billion people. I would not be having, and thankfully it's only in a 355, because I think the bees, by the way, and the wasps would be all over this outside. It's very sweet, and I don't think I'd be having too many of these, mate, sitting on the old veranda in the sun. I might have this one. I'll finish it, but I'm going to go on to something a little easier to drink. I find this very
full of another...
quite delicious. You would you? Okay.
Would buy a 6-pack of these and have them in and of an evening. Oh, yes.
You're going to feel like...
I don't think so. It doesn't taste heavy. It doesn't... Is there a creaminess? Like the richness to it gives it a bit of a body, but I don't think it's too much. I'm also... drinking this with a slight cold, he said. Pause for nose maintenance.
Blowing again, yep.
So it's possible.
Did you do any actor shite tonight?
Technically, no. I did the directorial things.
You know what that is?
Any acting?
Actor shite.
Well, is it two words or one?
Well, that's the thing. We had a conversation, a text conversation last week, and one of the words I used, and I said, that sounds like a rude word. And it totally wasn't. But it's one of those words that sounds like a rude word that isn't.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, right. And I kind of found myself then Googling a web page of a word, sort of rude word. No, words that sound rude that aren't.
Uh-huh.
So through this
kumquat,
hour,
that was your one.
Kumquat, absolute. That's what it was. Kumquat sounds
that
like
your
a
word.
Word.
It yeah, does.
You would turn a fruit a beer. That was on there. So I might ask you four or five of these as we go through the evening.
Oh my!
You've got to guess what they are. But actor shite. Have you got any idea? AKT. No googling. Googling.
Well, no. I thought you meant shite pertaining to an actor.
I did.
But you're out and doing theater stuffs.
Absolutely.
But if you're an East Londoner.
It's not spelled A-C-T-O-R. This is A-K-T-A shite. S-H-I-T-E.
Actor.
Yeah. Any ideas what that might be?
I will go with it is, you know, when you have a battery, but the battery has gone bad and the acid sort of leaks out a bit and then it causes that kind of that white crusty stuff to kind of float out the side of it. That's act of shite. That's what I'm going to go with.
See, you are really clever. You're so clever because it's a
rare. Went to alkaline. That's the only thing I could do in my brain.
Well, it might be exactly what you said, because it's a mineral, so it's probably is it. It's a rare mineral and used commercially as an ore of arsenic, copper, and mercury. It takes its name from the village of Aktash in eastern Russia, where it was first discovered in 1968. There we go. So that might be it. Anyway, you've done quite
well. I let my imagination go, and Acta, the way you mentioned it, I saw the word alkaline in my head, and so I wandered towards batteries, and then shite got me towards a powdery discharge substance, and I thought, well, it's probably that then.
I bet the only reason why you knew that was because you were listening to a mineral radio station on your way back from the theater.
No, I'll tell you exactly how I came up with that. That is 13 years straight of being on a weekly improv team, performing to very small audiences, but it stretched allowed me to utilize my imagination. It probably flexed my imagination. I got to use my thinking muscles and brains and whatnot, and it taught me to not think well on my feet, but think imaginatively on my feet. Coming up with long, elaborate stories on my feet very quickly with no meaning, substance, or proof of fact.
Basically, actor-shite.
Yeah, I am. What was the one? I am the only skills I have are totally and tragically unmarketable. Were I to give this a score?
Yeah,
I might not go as high as a 9, but I will go as high as close to a 9 as I can. So 8.9 is what I will tell them.
That's a good score for you, isn't it? Really, that's
I like it.
Oh, you're much higher than that.
No, but I'm leaving room in case I like this other one too.
I like it too, Ross. But the problem is, it certainly ain't a session beer.
$3.55. I want more. I'm leaving a tiny little drip to compare, but I want another can to be sitting right there, and I would smash that down happily.
It's, by the way, it looks great. I love the color. It smells wonderful. It actually smells a bit like a bit like a German Bock.
I find that Bocks are very close to brown ales.
Okay.
Relation-wise.
Okay. Yeah. I do like it. I do, but I don't think I could drink too many of them. And I would give it a good mark as well. And maybe it's not such a bad thing, because I don't want to drink too much that it's going to make me feel a bit... And I'm not talking about drinking so much of it like I used to drink pints and pints until I threw up. I'm talking about the fact that I find this a little too rich for my palate now, to be honest. That's saying something. I do like malty beers. But this is, a little. It's great. It's a lovely pint. I love it. It's 7.5 points out of 10. But I don't really want to drink another one right now.
Okay, well, a 7.5 is pretty high for you as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm worried about beer number two. Well, first of all, I need to change my background, so I'm no longer outside at the Lazy Bear Brewery. I am now moving slightly east, and we're going indoors to the Truro Brewery, which was this the one? Yes, I've been inside at the Truro Brewery, and yeah, I like this place because this was part of my stopping in at various places between Cape Breton. On my drive back from Cape Breton, I tried to stop into a couple of different places, and I tried to hold myself in check. I think at each of my stops, I got something interesting, something dark, sometimes both, and I'd often get a sour. I also got a sour for my wife so that she would be slightly less mad at me for driving to Cape Breton and back in one evening. And that mostly worked. I don't think she's tried either of the sours yet. We might have to try those when you're away. Ooh, but so this can, I'm just now noticing the Hubtown Honey Brown from Truro Brewing, which is right there, obviously, in Truro, in the Truro Brewing Company. I'll try to bash, not bash, but just mispronounce. It's one of those, a lot of the towns, places in Nova Scotia are just infamously difficult to pronounce without making you sound inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfville. There's like an F and a V right after Wolfville. Brurik. There's the R and the W. The Brurik. Truro. Who puts two R's in a short word like that? However, the can is, and I love this, well done, brown. The theme of it is brown. And then up here on the H for the Hubtown Honey Brown, there's bees and then a little beehive in the top there on top of this very large H. And it is a 5.2% alcohol by volume, so it's slightly stronger than the other one. But these ones, again, sitting down and around the old 5%, whereas some of the other browns that we've got are up towards the 6%. Open up, you silly thing. So here was the problem. The glasses that I have, the Truro one is small, and the Lazy Bear one was the big 20-ounce one. So I'm wondering, I'm not sure if the big can will go in the small glass, but I'm happy to try.
I've made that mistake regularly over the last few weeks, putting the smaller can into the wrong glass.
Maybe it's the congestion talking, but I don't smell anything when I crack that.
Truro is the north. Would you call it? Would you call it the northwest of Nova Scotia? No.
They're kind of. I think they're a bit central. I mean, it is the hub town. So Truro is the hub of Nova Scotia. It's where everything.
That's right. Fair enough. I didn't know it was called. Is it colloquially known as the hub town? Is it the nickname
or
something?
Yeah. You hear that a bunch. And then central Nova, you hear sometimes. Okay. You don't always get north, because when you say north, you think Amherst and closer towards the New Brunswick border. Even though Truro's not that far from it, but it's kind of close to everything. And I always say, My daughter plays a lot of sports, and they have provincial tournaments and year-end tournaments, and it's always, oh, here's this tournament, and we're going to have this tournament in, and it's always at the total other end. Like, we're going to have this way out in Yarmouth, or it's going to be way out in Sydney. And I said, just have them all in Truro, and then everyone's happy. No one has to drive 5 hours. You're all only about max 3 hours. Everyone is 3 hours from Truro. It's one of those all roads lead to Rome kind of situations, I think.
Yeah, because Truro in the UK is in the southwest.
I keep forgetting all the towns in Nova Scotia. Everywhere is named after somewhere in the UK.
Well, they are. That's what I was sort of going with that. That's Berwick, of course. They named that one after the most northerly English town they thought of, which before you get into Scotland. So there's a whole bunch of those names, but Truro, when you were trying to say, but there's no, I can't think of a Wolfville. I can't think of a Wolfville or a Kentville in the UK, and yet there's got
Well, those were named for people's, for families. So those are a bit, first of all, they were named for the geographic location. So Wolfville's original name was Mud Creek. You know this from all the history that we do. So it was because there was a muddy creek. So someone called it Mud Creek, very inventive. And then eventually they changed it because I think the DeWolf family was quite well to do. So they said, well, we'll call it DeWolfville. And they said, no, that's too many letters. You can't have it.
And of course, the same with the Duke of Kent. But I'm thinking, surely there must be names like that in the... There probably is, mate. By the way, we're both a couple of clatter farts. Did you know that?
See, that... Now, that sounds very obviously descriptive, I feel. A clatter fart. Is it F-A-R-T?
Yes, it is. It's a,
you got to give me a little bit of the spelling. I feel like the spelling, oh my goodness, this whole thing fit in this Truro Brewing Company glass. This always seems like the smallest glass, but that is 473 milliliters. That is a 16 plus ounce glass, I think.
I've never needed a drink of water so much after one beer as I do with this one to get as much as I can, because it's still the last sip I took must be 5 or 6 years ago. Years? Good grief, not long ago. 5 or 6 minutes ago, after all the clatter farting I've been doing. Still full of flavor. I've got to clear my palate big time for this.
Well, then is clatter farting sort of just waffling your words and saying meaningless gibber and nonsense and not really contributing to the conversation, but just sort of offering silly anecdotes, movie references, and sound effects? That would be what I would define a clatter fart if I had to invent it this moment.
Okay, well, traditionally, going back in a proper ye olde English, when they put E's on the end of all their words, it's a gossip or a blabbermouth. We know it better as a blabbermouth, don't we? A blabbermouth. Clatterfart. So
you are a noun. You are an clatterfart.
Yeah.
I say so you do not verb.
You could blabbermouth, couldn't you? One could
you blab. I suppose you could. I'm so adjective. I verb nouns.
Yeah. Oh, I just cracked it. Have you already? Of course you have. You already filled the glass.
I have. Yeah. And it did fit. The head went away much quicker. The fizz is the head has slightly larger bubbles, but still impressive bubbles. I'm still happy about this. I still smell nothing. I'm smelling a little bit more now, but I'm worried about my congestion. I think my congestion has ruined me for tonight, so maybe I'm going to love these when I shouldn't. Hubtown Honey Brown. The can, once again, says absolutely nothing, and we have to rely on the website, which is descriptive, and I'm happy about that. Everybody knows a Honey Brown. Robust, outgoing, and always happy to see you. This complex brew is a welcome sight all year round. Good on them for having a brown all year round. A malt-forward beer with notes of rich chocolate and smooth caramel. Dark brown in color and very clear with light tan head. Agreed. Similar to a red ale with less hop bitterness. Who's putting hop bitterness in the red ale? Honey malt is used in place of real honey, which means it's vegan. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness it's vegan. And Hubtown is a common nickname for Truro due to its central location. It has namesake. Well done. This is the first site that describes the namesake of the beer without us having to actually go to the brewers and have them on the show themselves. How's your nose? What are you nosing out of this?
I was getting it's not as rich smelling as the other one. It doesn't
good. I have shoved it fully up my nose.
What did it say? What did it say was in this? I hope it hasn't been bum fiddled, by the way, Ross.
bum fiddle something. To make something overly complicated with additional manipulations where it did not need to be improved upon in the first place.
If someone had done that, they'd have been a bum fiddler for sure. I'm getting...
Dang it.
This is far more... Malt for me, forward. This smells less rich, less malty. It smells more like I have... And more akin to the classic British brown ale that everyone like, the Brunale. It's a bit, smells a bit like a Nuki brown, a Newcastle brown ale. That's never a bad thing.
This one does say it has rich chocolate notes of, it's the only one that describes the word rich. So I'm a little worried. Rich chocolate and smooth caramel. Smooth caramel.
Is that a song? Oh, you're doing Smooth Operator by Sade.
Yeah, I am.
I got it eventually. I thought you were starting off with a Michael Jackson smooth caramel.
Yeah, you've been struck by a smooth caramel.
I prefer that. I prefer that.
Did you sip or did you sniff? I'm still getting nothing out of the... Okay. Full drink time. Cheers.
Oh, I prefer that. I've just nailed my colors very much to the mast on that one. I've just said all of that. I prefer that. That's it. That's it. I'm there for the night. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there comes honey. Honey coming late.
Really? I'm getting a roast late.
Yeah, there's a roast. There's a sweetness.
A roastiness.
I am getting...
Dark brown tannin.
Mmm.
Rich chocolate and smooth caramel. I'm sorry. I have a cold. So am I not... Did I get sicker since we started? Because I feel like I tasted everything in the first one, and I'm not... I want my flavor back. Give me... I want my flavor back, flavor back, flavor back, flavor back, flavor back, flavor back, flavor back.
So it has been bum fiddle. It's to pollute or spoil something. You think it's been polluted with something it shouldn't have?
No, because it's delicious.
Mmm, goody, goody.
It's, again, it defies description because it's just tasty.
I'm getting the honey, though. I am getting... It's delicate still because there. It's not like wallop. There's some honey because I've had honey ales in the past. You're like, wow. Waggle Dance is a big famous one I've had, which is like, it's like eating honey. So honey-ish and it's delicious. But this is a honey brown rather than just a honey, straight up honey ale.
Did you miss the part where it's not actually using real honey? It's using honey malt.
Honey malt. But is that malt that's mixed with honey?
But it, whatever it is, it's vegan. So they didn't. I don't know. They haven't stolen anything from bees. What makes something vegan? It's not at all involved with animals. So it can't be honey. So honey malt. You are obsessing about the fact that this is a much more honey flavor when it does not actually include honey. It's got honey themed malt.
So sometimes when you drink, excuse me, a coffee that's had fake sugar put in it, like stevia or the other thing, it tastes I know where you go, but it actually tastes sweeter than sugar to me, that stuff. It does taste exactly what it is, which is fake. But this doesn't to me. This tastes really nice. And
I agree. I wish I didn't know that this was made with honey malt instead of honey, because the only thing that I've learned about honey malt is if you go to northernbrewer.com, you can order 1 pound of honey malt for $2.89. That's all I'm... Or... Okay, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, $2.89, that's too rich for my blood. So you're in luck, because beneath the $2.89 elaborate sense, it does say, or four interest-free payments of 72 cents each.
Wow, thank you. Otherwise, I just couldn't stump up cash.
I mean, in this economy, $2.89, that just breaks the bank open right there.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, that's my...
is that monthly installments? Do I have to pay it weekly?
It doesn't say. It does go through the Sezzle app, whatever that is. Oh, the internet is a constant just provider of humorous things, mistakes, and obviously that's there for like larger payments. Would you like 1 pound of this for $2.89? Or you know, slow down.
Four easy payments
of 72 cents.
What a cock chafer.
Why are all your... Oh, right, because they're all your words that sound dirty but aren't. Okay.
What's a cock chafer, Ross?
I honestly... it. So... it mostly does sound like a... like it would be a Chinese finger trap puzzle, but made out of that really rigid rope, nautical rope, that's extremely scratchy.
No, it's a beetle. It's a kind of beetle. That's really boring, isn't it?
It is, rather.
Really?
It doesn't chafe any roosters at all. That really chafes my rooster, that does.
I like, this doesn't have the crazy ass head on it that the
it does not, but do you know what I like about it? It is not, it is more opaque. Mm. You can't see through it. It's a bit thicker.
There's some sea monkeys in there.
I'm not specifically seeing sea monkeys, but it is definitely thick. I can't decide. And I usually break in, as soon as I say those words, I break into a Scissor Sister song, but I'm going to avoid doing that right now.
Okay, good.
Because between these two,
yeah,
I think I prefer the Lazy Bear one because it's got a bit more chutzpah. It's got a bit more of a personality. Both of them are delicious and smooth and wonderful. And the Hubtown one has the, they're both so well balanced that I think we've run into this once or twice before. When something becomes so balanced, it doesn't have a personality.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
The Hubtown Honey Bread, it's delicious. But it's forgettable. And that shouldn't be a problem. And I don't think it is a problem.
I think for that reason alone, I could drink this all evening.
Yeah.
And it's actually getting smoother with every sip.
It is. Well, it's so good. And because what did we learn? We learned this dark lagers. Or there was another dark something. Dark lagers or brown ales or things like that. These are what are known as the oldest beers on the planet. This is what they started with. It was a malty thing. It was kind of like this. It was a little cloudy. It was brown. When you go into an establishment and you'll say, beer, this is what you should get. And then if you're weird, you'd say, oh no, can I have something clearer, more clear, more light? Can I get it even lighter than this? And it would have a bit of, it wouldn't be quite as balanced as this. I need some kind of skunky flavor in the back. Oh, we'll introduce you to lagers and pilsners. This seems to me where beer should be. This is
what I kind of grew up on is bitters and brown ales and
in a proper country, yeah.
A proper country.
In a proper country. We are... Okay, luckily there's only 33 million of us. 34, 35. So I don't mind pissing off all Canadians. We are a nation of pretenders and aspirers, if that's a word.
Before you're going there, more lager is drunk in the UK than bitters.
Okay, really?
So it's not a Canadian thing, mate, by any means. Australians drink lagers until the cows come home. The UK, Europe drinks pilsners. It's lagers. Yeah, I know. Pale ales. Look, what I'm saying is Canada is not alone in this. It's nice that there is a big, broad range of beers for all tastes. Canada's just probably in exactly the same boat as most countries. The majority of beers sold in most countries are lighter, lagery, pale ales than the darker ones. That's just the way it is.
And that makes no sense to me. So when we find a beer like this, and I have to pretend that this being the most rudimentary flavor profile of, oh, it's all balanced. It's a little bit brown. The malt's there. There's a little bit of, the malt and the hops and the flavor. It's just, here you go. This is what it should taste like. You know, this is the... And I don't mean this as an insult. This is the craft dinner of beers. This is just, do you want some food? Bam. There. It is the most basic thing. And like to think and pretend that there is a country on Earth that everyone just goes in and says, I'll have a beer. Here's your beer. Slam. There. And it may just be at monasteries or whatnot where they originally made all of these, because it seems wrong that in any location on Earth where this particular beverage or type of beverage is available, everyone says, no, I need something that burns my esophagus and makes me ill. This doesn't challenge me enough. Maybe that's it. Are we just a species of human where we haven't been challenged enough?
Well, didn't that brewer a few months ago, and I really am a terrible one for names, David, he was saying that the current penchant for IPAs is slowly going over, and the maltier versions of beers is making a bit of a comeback. So it might be that because traditionally, of course, and I'm making a sweeping generalization here, but generally younger men and using myself as an example, when I was 18, 20 years old.
Oh, I thought you were saying you are a younger man. Young men like yourself.
100 years ago, when I was an 18, 20 year old, there were all my mates that I went out drinking with, eight or ten of us at a time. They were all lager drinkers. And myself and Darren were the only dark ale drinkers. And I only drank bitters and brown ales because my dad drank that, and that's what I was introduced to beers by. But most people start off with a lighter, easier to eat. I'm saying easier with quotes.
But that's what doesn't make any sense to me, because and lager. Most of the lagers that we have tried, couple of exceptions of craft ones, are not easier to drink than this.
Well, then you and I are different.
is that it? Are my taste sensations just really playing tricks on me? I'm congested. Maybe not. You'll have to excuse me. I am not at my best.
There's also marketing. I mean, let's be honest. If I think of people sitting around drinking a brown ale or a Mackeson stout or something, even in my mind, they're all sat in a smoky Yorkshire bar. They're all about 65 years old. They've got
walrus moustache.
Right, right.
Room for the Wilford Brimleys.
Wonderful. Right, so he's going to be sat there drinking with his mates all around about 65 years old, drinking dark ales because they're old men. Marketing is an amazing thing. These probably aren't aimed at 18 to 20-year-old kids, if you will. They were all drinking Castlemaine 4X or Harp or just lager.
What was that first one?
Castlemaine 4X. Have you heard of Foster's?
I have heard of Foster's.
Right. Well,
what is Castlemaine Thorax? The thorax of the main part of the castle?
It's 4X. There's literally X times 4.
It attaches 4X. The... Oh, I'm trying to think of all my cat. The tenant? No, not the tenements. The what's the? Oh, I used to know castle words. What's the bit? The
ramparts.
Ramparts. Yeah, I think I was starting to, and I came up with tenements. That's just wrong. That would have been way funnier had I been cleverer at this moment. I'm blaming my congestion.
You almost said another one of those ones that would have been competing with Foster's and Castlemaine 4X. They're both Australian lagers, but you almost said Tennent's, being a Scotsman, because that's a massive seller in the UK, and it's another big lager that sells by the shitload in the UK.
So is Kingfisher. That was one that I ran into while I was in Scotland many, many a year ago. But is it marketing? Are brown ale marketers just not as good as that? Look at this. It's crisp. Yeah, it's light. It's gold. Yes. You can see through it. And drink copious amounts of this. And it's even though it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, so you walk into a pub that's not a free house. It's owned by some massive big brewing company like Tennent's or like Foster's or whatever. And because they would have pump after pump of ice cold lager, the guys will just go in and sit there and drink a swill about 8 or 10 pints of it, and your real ale drinker, it's not going to be in there, is he? And there's not going to be many of them.
Yeah, I feel we'd be the nerds in the back saying things like, "Yeah, look at you drinking all your lager. You could have this, and it actually tastes quite a bit better. Oh dear, oh, look at all you up there."
I like them both. These both, by the way.
I do like both of them, and even though, okay, I prefer the Lazy Bear at an 8.9. Just because it has a bit of a personality, but I think the Hubtown might be a 9.2.
Wow!
It scores higher, but I prefer the other. It's so smooth. It's so smooth. It's so delicious. You could drink. Oh, and it's 5.2. That is heaven. That is our idea of heaven. You find a nice pub, you know, you get the dark wood and the brass shelves. Honestly, you need to find your way into the Truro Brewing Company, because their establishment right there at downtown, wherever the heck I was. Oh man, I plugged it into the GPS. I couldn't even tell you where it was in Truro, but I walked in and I immediately felt like I was in the right place. I think I mentioned this when I was talking about my road trip a couple of weeks ago, but I walked in and the walls were wood. There were these beautiful wooden columns everywhere. There's a few, you know, seats, and it was a Saturday night, 9 o'clock, and there were approximately three mid to late 20s youths trying to enjoy an evening. The music was slightly too loud on the stereo, and I talked to a dude with 6 earrings and a nose hoop and gelled green hair. But up on the walls there were, you know, it was the LGBTQ plus flag was up, and All Lives Matter, and a spattering of all these wonderful, wonderful, inviting social invitational and promotional and accepting things that, and I hate to say it, because, and this gets us into a whole other subject entirely, but I, as a cisgendered white male, I mean, not only did I feel accepted, but I felt like I was in a place where my peers who accept anything also were. And I felt comforted by that, because sometimes, and this is in no way a complaint, but sometimes what occasionally happens is you may have found yourself happening to you every now and then as a cisgendered white male at the right age appropriate. Someone's like, "Oh, come on in, we're talking in our group," and you wander over, and all of a sudden it goes from 0 to 100 on the, "Hey, we're here to talk smack about the natives." I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." I just walked over. I did not sign up for this, and I do not agree with all. I know that you brought me over because you thought, you know, kindred spirit, but we're going to nip this in the bud, and I'm going to walk over here. Sorry, I'm out. And if that's my only complaint, you know what? All the other white people want to talk racism with me, and that's the worst problem that I have. And it literally is the worst problem that I have. So there are far worse oppressive things that can happen to you. But I liked being there.
Does that happen to you a lot? You just walk into the pub and everyone wants to talk racism. Do you give off a vibe?
I do live in rural Nova Scotia.
Well, then you get out of there, run very fast, and you'd be able to do that because you'd have been doing a lot of fart lecking, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, it's kind of, "Hey, come on over here, son. Racism. Let's talk about how the transgendered people are stealing our country." There's a number of things going on. Going all the way back to the Speaker of the House, but that's different. Which one are you out there? Is that the hub?
This one here, the second one, I'm trying not to drink it too fast. I struggled a bit through the Lazy Bear, even though it's only 355. I've got more of that left. And I want, and this is the point, Ross, where I'm going to go back to it. I found it too rich, but this is going to be interesting because I found this one, the Hubtown Honey Brown, so smooth. By the way, I would buy a 4-pack of this and I would sit here and drink it all evening, I think. It's delicious. There is a tiny bit of honey in it. It's sweet, but it's not sickly sweet. You told me it's fake honey, whatever the heck it is that's going on in it. I don't care.
Sure is. You're getting this honey flavor out of these malts.
Give me the fakeness of this over the real stuff that's in the Lazy Bear Brewing. I'm going to go back to it now, and I'm going to try it. This is going to be interesting on this.
I feel the Lazy Bear isn't that much stronger flavored. I still prefer it, but you're right. The Truro Brewing is smoother.
The Lazy Bear, though, actually, off the back of drinking the Hubtown.
Right.
It does taste good.
It's got the legs. It's got that little extra. And the only way I could describe it was minutes ago. It's just got the little bit of a beat.
I am not going to be the Philistine. Like when we finished last week's craziness with the generic ales, we just threw them all into the same glass. And they all taste the same. I'm not going to do that with craft ales. But they've both got a lot going for them. I'm going to give the nod to the Hubtown just because I do like to have two or three pints of the same thing every evening. And I think I would struggle a bit with a Lazy Bear. They're both really good beers. I'm enjoying them
both. If you want to explore flavors, I would recommend the Lazy Bear. They're both excellent. So, and I'm sticking by an 8.9 for the Lazy Bear and a 9.2 for the Truro.
Those are out of space. Totally out of space scorings. You're crazy, man.
But I liked them. They're both really good.
Did you happen to notice?
Probably not.
Are those the kind of scores, by the way, that I thought you reserved for the Bad Apple barrel?
No. You recall, the Bad Apple is the only one that I scored higher than a 10. Yes, it's Matt. An 11 out of 10. It still wins.
There is I saw earlier on, I think it's, what's his name? Todd, whatever his name is. Todd, whatever. On the Maritime Craft Brewing Facebook-y kind of joint thing account there. The Tatumagoosh Brewery, they do a barrel-aged Russian Imperial.
They do.
Yeah. And I'm wondering... I was like, when I asked him, where's that from, mate? And he said, oh, it's in Tatumagoosh. So, oh, great, Nova Scotia. Is there another one out there that you've sourced that we might sort of take a gander at?
For Russian, let's do a quick search for for a Russian Imperial Stout in Nova Scotia. I honestly knew there was that one in Tatumagoosh.
Okay.
Because they did theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Big Spruce does the Ra-Ra Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout, and I have sampled that one of those five course meal...
Oh yes,
the craft brew showdowns, because that was where I learned Stephen, my friend, who came on and talked to us as a representative of Big Spruce. He is one of their PR marketers and Prudhomme, as it were.
Prudhomme, yes,
but he was there in person. I hadn't seen him in years, and he was there saying, "Hello, I'm here on behalf of Big Spruce." And I'm like, "Hey, that's cool. Look, that's my friend Stephen." I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And we talked over the evening, and when I got to the final, I think this was the one that they put for their dessert course, the fifth course.
This one
is the Ra-Ra Rasputin, and I'd known Stephen for a goodly long. I knew him back in my 13 years of improv experience. Gotta double down on that. And Stephen is one of the guys who A, I could keep up with him and he could keep up with me. And we did a lot of these things. So I knew what he was capable of. So I boldly, from the peanut gallery, state, what, you mean you're not going to sing the song? Knowing full well that Stephen Heisler of Big Spruce Brewing has an incredible range and singing voice, and knew that he was going to nail this, and knew also that he would not back down from the challenge. And he's there talking into the microphone, and finally he just starts, rah, rah, Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine. And he did it. He nailed it after, I mean, four courses of beer and everything. But the Big Spruce representative I managed to coax into singing Rasputin. You can't lead with, this is the rah-rah Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout without...
yeah,
do you know what? Lazy Bear Brewing has also got one.
The dessert was called The Rivers of Babylon.
No, it's called Fields of Gold.
All right. Old... I love this. This is some good fuck sheet right here.
there apparently are some other Russian Imperial Stouts, so we might need to get out and get ourselves, because I don't think they don't end up in the LC all that often, so we're not all seeing them now, right there in the
when you say all that often, you mean
ever.
I have not seen a Russian Imperial Stout
also
in
never.
Are they going to sell? I mean, they're in the business of selling beer, by the way, and you and I would walk in there and say, we'll have eight of those, please, but no one else is going to.
Facts. Kier's Facts has been in the LC for as long as we've been living in the valley, and it doesn't go away. So the strong stuff prevails. I'm convinced that if you threw a stronger thing in there, I mean, there were a couple of Innocent Guns and the Bavaria 8.6. They come and go, but Facts is always there in the LC. Someone's buying it or it would go away.
But it's Kier. Kier is going down the valley.
Kier is buying six cans a week. And yeah, okay, that's obviously it.
The Buds and the Bud Lights are flying out of there every weekend by the truckload. I haven't seen anyone walking out with Bavarian.
Of Bavaria 8.6 Red.
Right. I was going to say, they might walk out with it once, but... we don't see them again. Those are the people
I used
that
to go in for two or three at a time. My neighbor first introduced me to those. I like Bavaria 8.6 Red. Specifically because the Innocent Gun rum finish stopped being a thing that they sold. That was a good one.
The I talked earlier on, I just mentioned briefly the box, the German box, but the two Holsten. It is Holsten, isn't it? The Fessbock and the...
is that there?
Maybock, are they Holsten? What are the hell?
I thought Holsten was like a lager or something.
Who makes the Fessbock and the Maybock? Heineken? I can't remember. By the way, they're both really good. The Fessbock is delicious. They're both sort of 7.5%. I don't know. Who makes them?
I'll go. I will happily go check them out. NSLC. Holstein,
and I would say that they are quite similar. Like I mentioned 20 minutes ago, one of these it's actually the Lazy Bear Brewing reminds me a little bit of a strong Bock, probably a Fest or a Maybock. Who makes
Holsten
them?
Fessbock and Holsten Maybock.
There you go.
Uh-huh. I have not tried those. To the Liquor Commission.
Yeah, get on your bike now. Drive down the... Oh, you can't. You just had a beer. The Lazy Bear Brewing,
Bicycle. Can I not bicycle? The only person I know who's been attempted to be arrested on his bicycle is Carter, and all they did was drive him home with his bike.
Yeah, he's very well known. Did they take his bike with him and throw it in the back of the... did they do that?
It was complicated because I believe he... was so inebriated he actually fell in the ditch off his bike, so they did...
Was it motorized at the
time? No, this was before he had a powered bicycle. So maybe that makes a difference. I will not be having a powered bicycle because those cost $400 to $600 more than I have in my pocket right now.
And you don't you make you quite as fit. If you haven't had those box, Ross, and you said you did. Sorry, you said you liked them. And this honey brown is not a million miles away from it. I suggest you give them both. Don't steer clear of them. Give them both a go. The first spot gets the nod for me, but the Maybach is gorgeous. Two. It's gone 10 o'clock. I enjoyed That's both true. Of those. I really did. One was slightly easier to drink than the others, but I give them both really good sort of seven and seven and a halfs. And it's never as high as yours. No, look, they're both really good beers, and I've enjoyed myself. Let's do brown ales more often. I'm out of here.
I know. We need more brown. Well, you need to get to the Annapolis Brewing brown ales, and we'll have more, and they will be in future. But regardless, outside of that, thank you for Ian. Well, thank you to Ian for being my co-host tonight, drinking some brown ales from both Truro Brewing Company and Lazy Bear Brewing out of Smith's Cove. You can check out our podcast. This gets uploaded as a podcast to all the podcasty places, Amazon, Apple, Google, and Spotify, and also on our site, drinkns.unsupervised.beer. And also, right here on the Facebook page, you can check us out live every Tuesday evening, somewhere around the range of 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Not this week, because I'm a raging thespian who does theater things and have to ask Ian to wait around for extra long. But thank you for joining us, and we'll hopefully see you next week. Good night.